telling you what, I think maybe it's time that we give Connor an opportunity to preach again, because he done went preach this morning, don't y'all think so? Yeah. Man, welcome. We're so glad you're here today. It's good to come hang out with you today. I always love coming to church, coming to Sunday morning, hanging out with the Lord, hanging out with friends and family and like believers, and just, I don't know about you, like, I need Sunday morning church. Can I hear a good amen? Like, it may not be perfect and it may not be the best, but it's a place that I can come, and it's a safe place, and it's a place I can bring my kids. It's a place I can bring my problems. It's a place when I can bring my praise. It's a place where I can come together and meet with the presence of Almighty God, a God who is good, a God who loves me, a God who never leaves me and never forsakes me. My weeks are better because I come to church on Sunday mornings. That should give you... Yeah, so if you love it that much, invite somebody to come next Sunday. Just saying. No, glad you're here. Welcome. We're kicking off our summer series today. We're going to be in the book of 1 Peter. We're going to preach through that book. And so today I'm going to read to you 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse number 3 is what I'm going to read today. Verse 1 and 2 just identifies Peter. Peter goes, this is me. I'm writing this to the saints. I'm writing this to the elected people. And we're going to start out with verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3. I'll read that and then we'll pray and we will get started. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Peter says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us. Lord, we come in here today, different places, different seasons, different ages in life. Lord, you know exactly where we are. You're a good God. You're a personal God. You know the number of hairs that are on our head. You know the situations that we're facing right now. And so as we gather in unity in your name, Holy Spirit, tailor this message and speak to us personally. Let us leave here changed today because we heard from you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, today this message, this book of 1 Peter, it's a very fundamental message from Peter. Peter is a guy we just need to know. Let's talk about Peter's history. Peter is a guy who was living an ordinary life. Peter is a guy who was carrying on his family business. His father was a fisherman. Him and his brother had taken on the business. They're commercial fishermen. They're just doing what they do. They're making a living. They're doing what daddy told them to do. And then one day, Jesus comes walking by the seashore, and Jesus calls out his name, Peter. How many of you know it's a game changer when you hear the voice of God call your name? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I was Cody, and I was living my life, and I was doing my deal, and I was living my dream, and I was where I wanted to do, and I was doing what I wanted to do. But when I heard the Lord say, hey, Cody, I'm calling you out of an ordinary lifestyle. Hey, Cody, I have plans for you. Hey, Cody, I love you. Just knowing that the God, the creator of the universe, knew my name and would take the time out to call out my name, that touched me and it motivated me. It let God know that I care. Peter was living an ordinary life, and God calls him, says, come follow me. No longer are you just going to be a fisher of fish. You're going to be fisher of men. God said to Peter, I'm going to use you. And Peter started following Jesus. Peter, full of insecurities. Peter cussed a little bit, if you know the scripture. Peter was a loudmouth. Peter talked way too much. Peter was a little bit prideful. Peter was not perfect, but Jesus called him, and he begins to follow Jesus. Every day learning, every day growing, every day coming closer to God. Peter knew what it was like to hear the voice of God. And then at the end of Jesus' life, we see Peter made a huge mistake. He made a mistake. He denied Jesus. He turned his back on the very one that called him. Peter, in the eyes of the world, was a failure. Peter was eat up with condemnation and guilt and unworthiness. Peter ran away full of depression. But how many of you know God kept pursuing him, and God went and found him in the middle of his sin, in the middle of his worst mistake, and God gave him a second chance once again. Peter knew what it was like to be called by God. Peter knew what it was like to be forgiven and to be given a second chance. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? this is Peter, and now this Peter who's been called and failed and restored, now he's writing this book and he's starting out on the fundamental level. Here's what I want us to see for you and I. The very first thing today is this. The simple fact that Peter starts out the book of 1 Peter saying these words, blessed be the Lord God. Bless the Lord. I read from the ESV Bible, the English Standard Version. Let me tell you what some other translations of the Bible say right here. The NIV says, praise be to God. The Message says, what a mighty God we serve. The NLT says, all praise to God. Here's what I want to talk to you about, Peter's attitude. I wonder how many of us in here today need an attitude adjustment. Don't come on, somebody. Need an attitude adjustment. Peter's facing ridicule. Peter is facing death. Peter is facing being arrested. Peter's life is on the line. Peter could complain. Peter could gripe. Peter could blame someone else. Peter could have the whiny hiney. Peter could be poor, pitiful me. But Peter says, my attitude is this. Blessed be the Lord God above. All praise be to God. Peter chooses to have a great attitude that gives glory to God. Can I tell you, that will fundamentally change your life and it will change my life. How many of you know if we lived in a world where more people focused on the positivity of God and not on the negativity of the world, it would be a better place that we live in. Peter chooses to go, you know what? This is my attitude. No matter what kind of economy we got going on, how many know groceries are expensive right now? Can I hear a good amen? How many know gas is expensive right now? How many know it's hard to make a living right now? You can work your butt off and still be broke. It's a tough world, but you know what? I don't care, because you know what? My provider is not of this world. God is my provider, and the streets in heaven are made of gold, and God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. So praise be to God today. Our attitude needs to change. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, you need to change your attitude. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, I can see it all over your face right now. You need to change your attitude every situation, every moment. As we look at this, can we be real, y'all? As I look at the world that we live in today, how many of you know there is wars and there is potential for war everywhere that I turn? It's Ukraine, it's Russia, it's the Middle East, it's Israel, it's Palestine, it's Jerusalem. How many of you know that it is a volatile nation that we live in right now, and civil war could be on the brink, and it's left against right, and it's conservative against liberal. Everywhere I look, I see that people are dying overseas, and there's wars everywhere. But guess what? At the end of the day, praise be to God, because I'm still alive, and God is on the throne today. Praise God, no matter what. How many of you know there is an all-out war and attack on our children today? If nothing else gets you fired up, you ought to be fired up about the war that is on your children and your grandchildren to move them away from trusting and believing God. Dear God, we live in a nation where men don't even know if they're men and women don't even know if they're women anymore. There is a culture war in America trying to move our children to a state of confusion. Our world is messed up, but at the end of the day, praise God, glory be to God, God is on the throne, and my faith and my trust is in him. It's an attitude. It's a game changer for you and I. Peter goes, you know what? Praise God. And he goes, you know why I'm going to praise God? He said, according to God's great mercies. How many of you thank God for the mercy of God? Let me talk to you a little bit about mercy. Let me talk to you a little bit about the difference in grace and in mercy. We sing these songs about the grace of God, and we're so thankful for the grace of God. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Grace saved you and I. But let's talk about the mercy of God. We don't talk about the mercy of God much. The difference in grace and mercy is this. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Can I tell you something today? You are precious in the eyes of God. Only in the eyes of God. You are precious in the eyes of God. God loves you. God created you. Before you were in your mother's womb, God had plans for you. You are precious in the eyes of God. But I want you to look at me. Here's a fundamental principle of the Word of God and of our Christian faith. You're precious in the eyes of God, but you do not deserve the gift of grace that God gave you. Nor do I. We live in this world where we feel like we deserve, where we feel like we are entitled, where we feel like everybody should give us everything, and we feel like God owes it to us to give us His grace. Can I tell you, I'm going to prove to you through the Word of God, you are precious, but you and I have chosen to go against the will and the commandments of Almighty God. Sin has come into our life. Sin has stained our life. It separates us from God, and we do not deserve the gift of grace that God gave us. When you understand that, it's a game changer. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve it, but God gave His only begotten Son to spill the blood on top of Calvary Hill that would pay for our redemption and make us new and promise us eternal life. But mercy, grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy is this, when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. When God doesn't give us what we do deserve because of my choices, because of my sin, because of my disobedience, because of my selfishness, I deserve. Can anybody be real with me? Like, Cody deserved to be shot. Cody deserved to die. Cody deserved absolutely nothing, but God loved me so much, He didn't give me what I deserve. God, I hope you can get that today. That's the grace of God. Let me show you. That's the mercy of God. Let me talk to you about the mercy of God. I'll tell you the difference in me and God. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created all the animals. He created all the trees. He created the earth. And then His most precious creation, God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Adam was a body, but he was lifeless. And God breathed His breath, and Adam stood up. It was Adam. Adam made in the own image of God, made for the purposes of God, made to represent and to live and to love and to walk in relationship with God. And God said this, you know what, Adam? I'm going to give you a helpmeet. And He reached into Adam, broke off a rib, laid it in the ground, formed a woman, boom, Eve stood up. Now, come on, y'all. It's Adam, it's Eve, it's the Garden of Eden. They have everything that they ever wanted. God walked with them every morning. The dew came down. They got plants, animals to eat. They ain't got no clothes on. All they got to do is make babies and replenish the earth and glorify God. Come on, somebody. But God said, you got everything you want, but don't eat of this one tree. You got everything, but don't eat of this one tree. And what did they do? They ate of the one tree. They did the one thing God told them not to do. You know what Cody would have done? I would have pulled out my Glock 9mm and I would have went boom, boom. And then I would have formed another man, and I would have formed another woman, and I would have stood them up, and I said, look, you two, here are the rules, and if you don't follow the rules, this is what happens to you. But God didn't do that. God showed His mercy to Adam and Eve even when they chose to be disobedient. He said, I'm going to give you kindness, and I'm going to give you compassion, and I'm not going to give you what you do deserve. I am going to give you another chance. How many of you thank God for the mercy of God? And Peter says this, praise God, because of His great mercy. Now, I'm going to read you another scripture from the Old Testament, and I'm going to be really, really honest with you today. I struggle with showing mercy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You screw me. Not so much me. You screw my family or somebody I love, I'm coming for your booty. You screw this church, or you talk about this church, or you talk about the Lord, you do something to me, and boy, I do not want to show you mercy. There is something that rises up within me, and vengeance is mine, says Cody, and I'm coming for you. It's hard, man. And if you tell the truth and if I tell the truth, we're all that way just a little bit. And we have to be reminded, like Peter, that God poured out his mercy on me and he didn't give me what I deserve. Therefore, I have to show the same thing to other people in my life. There's a story in the Old Testament, this guy named King David. He was a man after God's own heart. This great leader, and this great leader sinned. This great leader, David, sinned and he made some choices. And can I tell you something? We're going to read this story in a minute. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Look. How many know there is forgiveness for all of our sins? Can I hear a good amen? But there's consequences for our sin as well. We don't want to talk about the consequences. We just want to talk about the forgiveness and we want to talk about the grace. God will forgive us, but if we continue to live in sin and we continue to make sinful choices and live sinful lives, there will be consequences for our sins. And here's David. He's made some bad choices and he's entered into sin. 1 Chronicles 21. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 11 through 13. David sinned, and so Gad, the prophet of God, comes to David. And the prophet of God says to David, you know what? Here's what the Lord says. Choose whichever one of these you want. You can either have 3 years of famine, 3 months of devastation by your enemies, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord, pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying everything that you got. Basically, God said, you can fall into the hands of man, David, and your enemies will destroy you, and your enemies will overtake you, or you can fall into the hands of God. And if you fall into the hands of God, the angel of the Lord is going to come, and there's going to be pestilence in your land, and there's going to be destruction. Choose what you want, David, because there's consequences for your sin. And David says this. He shows great wisdom. He says, David said in verse 13, I am in great distress. Stop for a minute. Sin will cause distress in your life. We live in a world where nobody wants to talk about sin. If you talk about sin at church, it makes people feel uncomfortable, and so they'll quit coming to your church, and they'll go to the other church that's just full of sugary, syrupy stuff and talks about grace and never calls out your sin. We have to know that sin causes distress in our life. Sin not only causes distress within ourselves, sin causes distress in our marriages, sin causes distress in the lives of our children, sin causes distress. And David says, because I've sinned and now I've got to suffer the consequences, I'm in a great distress. And he goes, I'm going to choose, though. David says, I choose to fall into the hands of God rather than the hands of man, because God is a God of mercy and people are not. God always shows mercy. People don't always show mercy. I don't know about you, but I'm saying it once again. I need prayer to be more merciful towards other people. Can I hear a good amen? To my enemies, to the ones that hurt me, to the ones that have talked bad about me, we've got to show mercy. Here's what I want you to see in this. Are you listening? Can I hear you say a good amen? God's heart is always for you and not against you. Even though you may have sinned, even though you may have messed up, even though David is in the middle of a jam, God's heart is always towards him to raise him up. We may have to suffer consequences. God may have to chasten us. God may have to punish us a little bit, but his plans are always to raise us up. God's heart is always for us. Proof is this. Peter says, praise God, because of his great mercy. And then Peter says this. Because God has caused us to be born again. How many of you in this place are born again today? Can I hear you say a good old loud amen? Amen. Born again. Born again. I am born again, not of the flesh, but born again of the Spirit. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I once was afar from God, but now I have been adopted into his family. I am born again. I am an heir. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am royalty in the kingdom of God. I belong to God today. I am born again. And Peter says this, thank God and praise God because he, everybody say he, look, point up, say he, God caused us to be born again. Can I tell you something right quick? You didn't do anything to cause you to be born again. I didn't do anything to cause myself to be born again. See, sometimes, here's what happens. Sometimes when we start living this Christian life, sometimes when we start going to church, sometimes when we start praying a little more, sometimes when we can quote a little bit more scripture, we get to thinking that, you know what, I am where I am because I'm pretty good now. You know, I'm not like so-and-so, and I'm not committing the sins that they commit. We feel like because of our good works and our good efforts, we are born again. Sometimes we need to be reminded it's nothing that we did, but everything that he did. Everything that Christ did. Can I just say something to you today in all honesty? Some of you in here, you need to be reminded you're no better than anybody else. Because sometimes we get a little bit spiritually superior and spiritually elite, and we want to look down our holier than thou nose at people that are struggling and people that are dealing with the same sins for the last year. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I pray more. I read more. I can pray in tongues. I do this stuff, and we'll look down on everybody else that's in the world. And some of us, we just barely got saved, and we have a poverty mentality, and we feel like we're no good, like we can never be enough, like we're never going to make it, that we're always going to be some kind of underclass citizen. Can I tell you something today? That because of God's great mercy, he has caused us all to be born again. All of us that were raised in good families, all of us that were raised in rich families, all of us that were raised in church, all of us that were born into poverty, all of us that have lived a continual life of sin, all of us, God has brought us together in one pool, and we are all his children, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and the only righteousness we have is the righteousness of the blood that Jesus poured out on you and I. Some of you need to be reminded you ain't no better than anybody else, and some of you need to be reminded you're as good as everybody else because he caused us to be born again. When you realize that where you are is only by an act of God, you will have this attitude of gratitude and thankfulness come over your life. God is a just God. I got to say this to you because it's a fundamental message, and we don't preach this in the churches anymore. The fundamental message is this: God is a just God, and God is a righteous God. That means he's righteous. He is morally right. And in order for you and I to have a relationship with this morally righteous God, the sin has to be removed out of our lives, because here's a holy God and here's a sinful people, and sin separates us. In order to have a relationship with him, we have to meet that standard of being morally right and morally just. Here's a question for you. I wonder how many of us in here today are morally right enough to have a relationship with God. Let me answer that question for you. None of us. Not one single solitary one of us on our own can meet the righteous standard that our God has set for you and I. None of us can. Here's a good litmus test. I know you're good. I know you're better than. I know you're a hard worker. I know you've been married to the same man for 35 years. I know you've raised kids. I know you got this. I know all of your credentials, but I'm going to tell you something. Here's a good litmus test. Let's go to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments that they've taken out of our nation and taken out of our schools and taken out of our government. Okay, so God is a good God. He's a righteous and a just and a holy God, a holy judge. Let me ask you this. One of the Ten Commandments is this: thou shalt not lie. You ever told a lie? See, the Bible says if we break one of the commands, we're guilty of all of the commands. You ever stole anything? Thou shalt not steal. What about this one? Thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus went ahead and said this: if you look at a man or a woman with a lustful eye, you have already committed adultery in your own heart. How about this one? I get you, country folk. How many of this? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. How many have done that? If you're guilty of one, you are guilty of all of them. And in a righteous courtroom, if you and I come up and stand before a righteous and a holy God, and he sees that we've taken his name in vain, that we have committed adultery, he will bang down the gavel and he will rule this verdict guilty, and we'll be sentenced to an eternal hell. But
We have an advocate and we have an attorney, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he stepped in, and even though you were guilty and even though I was guilty, Jesus stepped in and he paid for our sins. He redeemed us. He restored us. He reconciled us back to God. So now we are no longer guilty because we've been born again and we're washed in the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus brings equality to the body of Christ. We're all the same, y'all. And when we understand that, it's a game changer. When we understand, and I gotta quit because we're running out of time. Since we couldn't work our way back to God, but God made a way when there was no way, and God saved us, that ought to motivate us to live every moment to bring glory to God. To quit playing some foolish, stupid, gracious game where we sin and go to God. After all God has done for us, we should be motivated to live for him, because praise be to God, because of his great mercy, because he caused us to be born again. And the last point I'll say is this. All of that should cause us to have a living hope. It's what Peter said. Should have a living hope. Hope. How many know we need hope in our world today? Can I hear a good amen? We need hope. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. 1 Corinthians 13, 13 says this. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is, and we talk often about love. God is love. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love. Love casts out all fear. We talk about love and we talk about faith because we're Pentecostal people and it's all about our faith and can we believe and do we have faith. But what about hope? There's three that remain. Can I tell you, some of you need some hope today. I can tell by looking at the look on your face, you ain't got a lot of hope. You need hope. Hope rises up. Hope deferred makes our heart sick. If we've lost hope, our heart will be sick, and out of our heart flow the issues of life. And if we have no hope, everything in our life will be sick. We need to get some hope back. Not just a hope, but a living hope. A hope that is alive, that is not dead, that actually exists in our life. How many of you believe our world would change if you and I lived in a true living hope? What if everywhere we went, you said, I got hope in God. God's still on the throne. God brought me from a mighty long way. God did it. I didn't do it. I don't deserve it, but God gave it to me, and God didn't give me what I did deserve. And you know what? Praise God today. Praise God. I got hope. I got hope in God. I got hope for my marriage. How many of you know marriage is great, but marriage is tough? Can I hear a good amen? And I'm not depending on me to make my marriage work. I'm depending on God, and I got hope. How many of you know raising kids in this time that we're living right now is really tough because they're facing issues and struggles that you and I didn't face. But you know what? I got hope that God is going to protect, and God is going to provide, and God is going to keep my children. I have hope that God is going to bring revival before he sends Jesus back. Hope is everywhere. Hope is alive. Hope sparkles. Hope shouts. How many of you know your marriage would be better? And sometimes your wife is struggling, but if you have hope, hope will get over on her. And sometimes your husband is struggling, but your hope will carry over and be contagious. Hope will carry over into our children. Hope will carry over into our church. We got to get back to where we're living in the middle of the hope of God Almighty. Conrad, come help me close. Hope should be everywhere. It's a game changer. Here's my question to you. Look at me. Look. Is your life full of a living hope? Does hope exist in your life? Do people want to be around you because there's hope? And I'm done with this. How's your attitude? Paul said, praise the Lord. How's your attitude? Check it. Check your attitude. Are you thankful for the mercy of God? Do you realize what you deserve and that God didn't give it to you? Be thankful. Praise the Lord. Rejoice. Listen to me, remember this. God caused you to be born again. Stop with your self-righteousness. I heard this story. I love this story. Story of the rancher riding fences one day, checking fences. big old cedar post, corner post. Rancher rides by, and there's a turtle on top of that post. Think about that for a minute. Just think about it. 6 foot out of the ground, turtle on top of a post. Like, how did that turtle get on top of that post? And the moral of that story is this: that turtle got there because someone else put it up there. And as I look at my life, I'm like, how in the world did I get to be where I am today? How did I get to be a husband and a dad? How did I get to be a pastor? How did I get to be a son of the Most High God? And I am reminded that I am where I am, not because I earned it or I made my way there. I am where I am because somebody picked me up and set me up here where I am. And that somebody is God the Father up above, who poured out his mercy and love for me, and he has plans to prosper me and not harm me. I am where I am because of God the Father up above. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You are where you are because God picked you up and put you there as well. You didn't earn it on your own. And when that happens, you just should go, "Woo! I got this hope over flooding me, and I'm going to live my life to glorify God." So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand on your feet. We're going to pray. We're going to close with a little bit of worship. But Father, I just pray you would speak to us in the closing moments of this service. Give us an attitude of gratitude. Let us check our attitudes today. We love you, God, and we realize that your mercies are so great. Your mercies are new every morning. We realize, God, you caused us to be where we are. And so, Lord, we just want to give our passion and our energy to shine that hope to a lost and a hurting world. Speak to us as we close in worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing like we love the Lord.